This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Best value pick for each team. I love articles like this. The NFL draft, this is courtesy of the Athletic NFL staff. They did the best value pick from the 2025 NFL draft for each team. Just for by way of example, you know, like Arizona Cardinals, they got Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan, who was supposed to be a first rounder. They got him in the middle of the second round. That's theirs. Shedeur Sanders is the Browns' best value pick. A day one or two quarterback they got in the fifth round, that kind of thing. I like these articles because I like to predict beforehand who it is in here. Mm-hmm. And Seth, if you were to, I think you probably know who it is already just by looking at the rundown. But the one they pick is the one that, A, I picked in my head before I opened the article, and B, this seems to be far and away the pick that the Texans are getting the most praise for, and that's Jalen Noel, the wide receiver out of Iowa State, with the 79th overall pick, to the extent that I've seen so many people saying they had grades on Jalen Noel of a second rounder. I've even seen back end of the first round from some graders. And again, the draft experts are different than front offices, as we've learned. But it makes me feel like when I hear everybody talking about Jalen Noel, it makes me feel surprised he made it all the way to the 79th pick in the draft.
Right, right. And I think some of that is just the size dynamic, too.
Yes.
Like slot, it's only recently that slot receivers have gotten respect in the draft, and they're still, you know, depending on how it all lays out in any given year, it's not a slam dunk that you're going to go high in the second round or what have you. But I would have guessed Jalen Noel because yesterday I was going through and kind of just looking at, you know, various draft grades and recaps, and Jalen Noel's name keeps popping up as the guy that was the most intriguing, the best value, whatever it might be, that people just love Jalen Noel. This was from The Athletic. Noel was expected to be a second rounder, so this is a good get. He's highly productive, recording 245 catches for yada, yada, yada. He's a polished route runner and should fit well with quarterback C.J. Stroud. Like, that's largely, by and by, that's what everybody was saying about Jalen Noel.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, I've got we'll have to play this later. I've got the pre-draft assessment of Jalen Noel from Chris Sims, and I find it very entertaining.
Oh, okay.
But the funniest thing is, before the draft, all these guys, you listen to them talk about Jalen Noel, and they're like, oh my gosh, oh, he's so, ooh, yeah, he's so, this, that, the other thing. And yet, they didn't have him very high on the ranking.
Right, right,
so
right.
there is that. I like it if he turns out to be kind of the kind of pick that you would classically get from either the Steelers or the Ravens, where, all right, not all the measurables were quite right. The guy wasn't as big as somebody wanted or this or that, but he can just play football, and he's got really good football character and all of that. It seems like before the draft, even guys that didn't have Jalen Noel ranked as high on the receiver rankings were still talking about him way more effusively with their praise and with more enthusiasm than a lot of the guys above him. So I'm intrigued. I just want to meet the young
guy. Well, those are the guys you're talking about, the ones that are talking him up and yet have him down on their list, are probably guys who buy more into 40 times and size, you know, size, weight, speed. You know,
well, it's the size part of it, yeah, too. Because, I mean, he's got all the measurables on the speed side of it.
I just meant, like, in general, they're probably more traitsy draft experts or front office people than the Texans are. Like, the Texans are willing to, They'll ignore a 40 time. Like, they're not as caught up in the size element with, I mean, I guess, well, I shouldn't say they're not as caught up. If they weren't as caught up, maybe they would have drafted him in the second round instead of the third round. But But I think that I don't think it's an accident that he's on the Texans. Let's just put it that way. Here's Emory Hunt. This is Emory Hunt is a, I guess, a draft expert. He's Ross Tucker has him on his podcast.
Yeah, Ross Tucker has him on his draft podcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
And here is Emory Hunt making a comp for Jalen Knoll.
Knoll, to me, Ross, reminds me so much. I know this lofty praise, but how he plays and how he conducts his business reminds me so much of Steve Smith Sr. I thought that one was a huge steal. He's going to have an impact role right away as a rookie.
Okay.
Yeah, the you know, when we talk about the measurables, I guess the thing that jumps out when you watch him is like, he didn't have, by wide receiver standards, he didn't have an elite 40 time. He had a good 40 time. Yeah. But his broad jump and his vertical are the 97th percentile.
Oh, really?
And you can see that when he plays. He's a muscled-up dude. Like, he's kind of looks more like a running back in some ways than he does a wide receiver. And you can kind of see the explosiveness with each step that he takes. And when he's not super polished as a route runner, but he's got all the traits as he's running his routes where he just needs to clean some things up, that the physical upside is very much there. He's just also a smaller dude. And in slot is a hard, it's a hard position to forecast sometimes because there's so much of a mental side to it. That's where the off-field gushing and being a two-year captain and everything else like that, that comes into it because you need to have a guy that is going to work. Remember, like Braxton Miller was a bit of the opposite of that.
Yes.
I think Braxton Miller was a guy that had all the athletic ability but didn't seem to really want to grind and learn the game of football. Jalen Knoll's the opposite of that.
Jalen Knoll snatches that ball too, man. He's got really good. Both those guys, both the Iowa State kids. I think Jaden Higgins' drop stats are ridiculously good. Like they're both very reliable.
This is a week that's been annoying me a little bit because by and large, most of the content being put out is all just still postmortem on the draft. Evaluation of draft classes and everything. But I get it because the top headlines right now, Sean, tell me if you were negligent in putting any of these into our headlines today.
Okay.
Well, you did put one. Okay. Ravens make tough decision,
That's a Tucker, big story. That's a big story.
It's a big story, but it's almost something that you knew was going to happen, and it's a kicker. It's not Deshaun Watson.
I don't know. I was I mean, I guess drafting a kicker probably increased the chance, but whatever the case. Yeah, that's a big, that's a big story.
NFL expects 1 million plus fans to attend the 27 draft in Washington, D.C.
The 27 draft?
Yeah.
Draft 2 days from now, or 2 years from now, yeah.
Browns linebacker Devin Bush arrested and charged with assault. That's like from 3 days ago.
Headline right now?
Yeah. Fourth headline. Gruden joins arena team as part owner and advisor.
Well, if he'd ever return my text, I'd be happy to talk about that with him.
Oh, he's such a tease.
Yeah. You gave me your number, John Gruden, all right? Return my text.
Okay. This one, we're not going to touch for because I just don't feel like it. I don't want the text line to be. Trump plan cuts funding for brain injury research. That's related to the NFL.
Let's dig into that one for a couple segments.
Let's dig into. Nobody loves talk more on this sports radio show than our listeners want two things. One, talk about CTE and brain injury research.
Yeah, they
and
love
two,
that.
Trump. Yeah. Yes.
That's the worst version of a Reese's peanut butter cup ever. They're like, ooh, chocolate and peanut butter. This is amazing. They don't say that. Ooh, CTE and Trump. Ooh, yes.
This was annoying me yesterday because this was one of the lead headlines in the afternoon. Fans vote ex-wide receiver Julian Edelman into the Pats Hall of Fame. Good for him. Yeah. I don't care. Okay, I didn't know he wasn't in already.
It's a Hall of Fame story, Seth.
Yeah. Second suspect charged in death of Super Bowl reporter. I didn't know anybody got shot, and good job catching the first one.
I vaguely remember that story. Yeah, the Super Bowl reporter. Yeah.
Phil Sims, number 11, to stay retired amid Abdul Carter's
That's from like 4 days ago also.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Tank's not on the headlines anymore? He was yesterday.
He was at the bottom of the NFL.com headlines.
Oh, NFL.com.
He's in good spirits.
That was a headline. Tank being in good spirits. Not a Houston headline, a national headline. Boy, you're right.
ESPN revamped their. And then the last one was the revamped power rankings after the draft. ESPN has the Texans. Take a guess.
We did this, I think. I want to say 10th.
13th.
Okay. Yeah. I know that one of them had him 10th.
And to be clear, these are the ESPN NFL headlines.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's other headlines elsewhere.
Right. Yeah, man. Oh, so Nick is coming on tomorrow at 7:30. Should we ask him to do something that maybe could pop a headline or two for us? I mean, the headlines...
Something about Julian Edelman, how he thought he was going to suck.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. We got to pull him into that bear trap. Yeah, so what were the reasons you thought Julian Edelman wouldn't make it as a football player?
He had all these off-field issues that have never been publicized before. I'll tell you what, when Julian Edelman got to us, we had to untangle a whole legal mess.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
For anybody that just tuned in, that was complete and total sarcasm.
Yes.
Please don't.
There's
somebody that turned on their radio just as I was saying Julian Edelman had all these issues.
Yep. Yeah. Someone said not Power Rank, but A Tale of the Tape, Tari's mom and Mama Sterner.
Those two would do a good
podcast. I think they'd get along great.
No, you know what they'd be great with reaction videos.
Yes.
Just like them watching stuff and talking about how stupid the people are in the videos.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I would love that. I would love that.
Because they drank a Coors Light.
Mm-hmm. For sure. The Astros, talking about the window that they are in right now, the championship window. I made the analogy of an actual window that they've got one leg out right now. The Astros currently have their head stuck in the window like it's a guillotine, and they're waiting to see if they can get through it before it drops.
Ooh.
But you're not trying to get through it. You're trying to stay inside. You know, you're trying, you don't want to jump out the window.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Am I alone in this? Of all the you know, kind of time-tested methods of execution, I still feel like I might prefer the guillotine. Over a lot of the other ones. I would prefer it to the electric chair. That looks miserable.
It's the quickest. I as long as I knew, I would want to check the sharpness of the blade before. I would want to make sure that thing is going to go all the way through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need that thing stopping like midway through my spine.
It goes for any of the execution methods.
You know?
Like, I don't want the firing squad to be shooting 22s at
But
me.
I think you have to ask yourself, if the method goes wrong, how bad would it be? You know what I mean?
Right, how bad? That would be a rough one.
Right? Like, I think it's got to factor in like 10%. Like, if it goes wrong, how bad? If it goes smoothly, that's the best one. Like, bam.
They do think that you maintain a bit. There's a chance you maintain some consciousness after your head's lopped off, which I think would be kind of trippy.
No,
okay?
are you trippy? Get out!
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I've never seen the world from this spinning perspective.
Can you spin me over? I'm face down right now.
It would be fun if you let's say you're suffering from a sprained ankle.
Right.
At the very least, as soon as you get decapitated and you're still conscious, like, oh, my ankle pain is gone.
Not my problem.
Yeah.
Not my problem.
Those nerve messages aren't even being sent.
That's funny. All right,
I don't want the gas chamber. I don't want the electric chair.
No.
I don't want to be hanged. God, no.
No, that'd be the worst one.
That'd be the worst one.
I think that'd be the worst one, yeah.
Especially if you don't break your neck.
Yes.
It can take
a
long time.
Right. That's my point. Like, I need to know what the percentage chances of failure are for each of these.
For the life of me, I still don't understand how anybody ever thought at some point, like, oh, yeah, electrocuting them is the far more humane way to go.
Dude.
I feel like that was Big Electric back in the day.
Yeah, probably.
They were like, oh, listen, they you know, handed some envelopes to government officials and were like, hey, listen, you know, we're trying to make a name for this new power that we have.
You do, sir or ma'am. I'm a lobbyist for the electric chair in Washington, D.C. to get that as the preferred method of capital punishment. All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. All right, back to the Rockets. This is the fifth time they've lost to the Golden State Warriors in the postseason. Each of the other four times, they followed up with big moves. Let's hope they've got a better hit percentage this time around if they opt for a big, big move. We'll recap history coming up next.